Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're digging into expert sources to pull out the really useful stuff. Today, we're tackling residential security, but maybe not how you usually think about it. We're skipping the latest gadgets, the flashy alarm panels for a minute. Instead, we're focusing on a really complete design-first approach, thinking about your home as like a whole system, secured right from the start, from the blueprint. So our mission today, we've got some materials from Jose Miguel Engel Oyeros. He's an expert specialized in high-end residential security consulting for, over 35 years. We're basically unpacking his team's philosophy, the stuff they share with potential clients. We want to see how they actually design houses to be safer, but also more efficient and sustainable just by baking security right into the architecture.
Yeah. And what's really key here, the first thing to grasp, is that this whole methodology, it isn't about selling you a box, a product. It's all about intelligent design. The main goal really is for a house that's designed well to naturally deter intruders, to resist them, and to detect them. And critically, without making it look like Fort Knox or needing a massive overload of tech. It's, holistic. It pulls together the architecture, the landscaping, the actual infrastructure, even your daily habits.
That distinction feels really important. Okay, so let's get into it. If they show up with a folio en blanco, a blank slate, not some catalog, what does that initial security evaluation actually look like? How's it fundamentally different from, just calling an alarm company for a quote?
It's completely different from the ground up. Standard quotes. They start with devices. Yeah. Cameras, sensors, that sort of thing. This consulting, it starts with a proper deep study. Their focus is on like three interconnected things: the specific environment around the house, the architectural design, whether it's planned or already there, and the physical infrastructure needed to support any systems later on. So, they arrive with a senior evaluator, that blank sheet, ready to design a security strategy, not just sell you one off the shelf.
Right. So it's almost like a forensic analysis before anything bad happens. Looking at it from multiple angles to cut down the chances for crime right from the design stage, what kind of specifics are they spotting that maybe your average architect or security salesperson might just gloss over?
Oh, it's incredibly detailed. They're looking at the orientation of the house. Is the most vulnerable side sitting in shadow all day long? How are the main entrances and exits organized? Are they making things unnecessarily complicated or exposed? And crucially, they spend a lot of time finding those natural blind spots or architectural ones, places that basically invite someone to hide.
And I guess they have to put themselves in the intruder's shoes too, try to predict the path an intelligent attacker would take.
Absolutely. That's a core part. They map out that path of least resistance. And once they figure that out, the most critical step is calculating the window of opportunity. How much time would an intruder actually have on site before being seen or heard or detected by a sensor? Every single bit of the design, a wall, that hedge we talked about, a window frame gets measured by how much time it gives or takes away from that intruder.
Okay, so the real power here is catching those design mistakes before the concrete is poured rather than trying to patch things up later at great expense.
That's exactly it. That's the whole point of designing before spending. They find these flaws that, down the line, would be incredibly expensive or structurally really hard, maybe even impossible, to fix properly just by adding tech. See, if security isn't baked into the architecture, you're forcing the technology to do all the heavy lifting. And that usually means more instability, more complexity, and definitely more cost over the life of the system.
That makes total sense. Let's make this more concrete. The source material had some great examples, practical case studies. And this is where it gets really eye-opening, right? How often things that look great, aesthetically pleasing designs actually undermine security. Let's start with landscaping. I mean, everyone loves nice plans, greenery. But you're saying my beautiful garden could actually be helping an intruder.
It's a huge vulnerability, honestly. Decorative landscaping very often creates perfect hiding spots. Think about those tall, dense hedges planted right up against the wall. Someone can creep along right next to your house, completely unseen from the street or by a camera. Or those big leafy plants. They grow fast, they spread out, and suddenly they're blocking your infrared beams, setting off false alarms constantly.
Hold on. Are you telling me those nice decorative planters I put right by the wall under the window? Because they look pretty. They're basically little stepladders for criminals.
Pretty much, yeah. Planters right next to walls, near doors, especially under windows, they're unintentional beefing points. Yeah. It gives an intruder that little bit of extra height they need to reach a first floor window or maybe a balcony. It's purely an aesthetic choice, creating a security risk.
Okay, then let's move to the building itself. Architectural challenges. You mentioned those minimalist designs, very popular now. Sleek doors, thin window frames, they look fantastic, but they compromise security straight away.
out?
Well, those modern minimalist frames, they're often designed for looks first, right? So they might lack the structural depth, the meat needed to properly anchor really robust physical security. Think multi-point locking systems or heavy steel reinforcements. It just gets complicated trying to fit those into a really slim profile.
Oh.
And because the frames are so thin, it also limits where you can effectively place interior sensors without them looking clunky or getting in the way of opening the window or door.
And what about balconies? Especially in modern houses, you often see balconies or terraces you can pretty much access from the ground floor. I just thought that was a nice feature.
Architecturally nice?
Yeah.
Maybe? Security-wise? It's a headache. Any point that's reachable from the ground, even if it leads up to a balcony on a higher floor, essentially forces you to double up on your alarm sensors. Mm-hmm. Now you've got two weak points where you should really only have one primary one, like the ground floor door itself. That duplication. It bumps up the initial cost of the system, makes the alarm logic more complex, and definitely increases your long-term maintenance bills.
Which leads us neatly to what you called a core infrastructure flaw, something that apparently plagues loads of new builds. Not planning for cables properly. Architects wanting clean lines, builders wanting speed, means homes end up relying heavily on wireless security systems.
Exactly. Wireless is quick to install. That's its big selling point. But if you're serious about security, it introduces several weak points. It's just inherently less stable than a wired connection. You've got battery changes, higher lifetime costs, and this is critical, it's much easier to sabotage. A smart intruder can use readily available jamming tech to basically flood the frequency the wireless system uses, and poof, your system is temporarily blind.
So the consulting approach is about planning for discrete, independent wiring channels right from the start, for stable, hard-to-beat wired systems, avoiding that wireless trap altogether.
Precisely. And that thinking flows into the overall solution, what they refer to as diseño crimifugo integral, integral crime-reducing design. The goal isn't just to stuff your house with gadgets. It's to cut down criminal opportunity efficiently, sustainably, and in a way that actually fits your lifestyle.
That focus on lifestyle seems really important. You mentioned they work with architects on interior segmentation. So the security isn't just an on-off switch at the front door.
It's absolutely crucial for usability. Think about traditional alarms. They're usually all or nothing, armed or disarmed. But with proper design and segmentation, your security adapts to how you actually live in the house. Maybe you want to move around the kitchen and the living area at night, grab a snack without setting off sirens or having to disarm the entire house. But you still want the bedrooms, maybe an office with valuables, fully secured. Or perhaps you only use part of the house sometimes, like a guest wing. You can protect specific zones easily. It lets the security system fit your habits instead of you constantly having to adjust your life around the alarm.
And this isn't just one person's opinion or gut feeling. This methodology is based on actual verifiable standards.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah. The systems they design are customized, obviously,
yeah.
But they follow well-established international standards, specifically ISO 22341. That standard covers something called CPTED crime prevention through environmental design.
Okay. CPTED. For listeners who haven't come across that acronym, what does it mean in simple terms for a homeowner?
Right. CPTED. Basically, it's the idea of using the design of the environment itself, the building, landscaping, the lighting, to make crime feel riskier or harder for a potential offender. It involves things like natural surveillance, making sure windows overlook vulnerable areas like entrances or pathways, access control, using fences, paths, or even thorny bushes to subtly guide people where you want them to go and discourage them from going elsewhere. And territorial reinforcement, making it clear this is private, well-maintained space. Even just keeping a place looking tidy and cared for signals that someone's paying attention. So using CPTED means the security solution is documented, it's based on proven principles, and it works with the environment, not fighting against it.
That level of clarity is great. Let's walk through the process. The sources outline three clear phases. Phase one, evaluation of risk and design proposal. And this phase zeroes in on what the material calls the single most vital unit in preventive security, time.
Yes, time. This is the metric that really separates serious consulting from just selling alarms. They look at three critical time factors and compare them. First, the physical resistance time. How long would it actually take someone trying hard to break through your specific door or window or wall? Second, the detection time. How long until that intruder is detected, seen, heard, picked up by a sensor?
And then those two times resistance and detection are compared directly against the estimated time for help to arrive, the police response time.
Exactly. The aim isn't just to make the alarm go off quickly. The goal is to make sure that the time it takes to get in, resistance time. Plus, the time until detection is significantly longer than the time it takes for police to arrive. Think about it. If your door can be kicked in 30 seconds and the police take 15 minutes, your fancy fast detection system hasn't really bought you much safety, has it? So this first phase proposes specific upgrades designed purely to increase that resistance and detection buffer time.
And these aren't just tech suggestions. They cover the whole spectrum. Architectural changes for better visibility, smarter orientation, rejigging access points, moving plans from just looking pretty to actually serving a useful security purpose, pushing for stable wired tech, and even suggesting changes in habits to boost the occupant's own natural watchfulness.
Then comes phase two, implementation of design. Here, the consulting team basically project manages the security aspects. They don't install the cameras or locks themselves. They oversee the trusted installers, the electricians, the landscapers, the builders. They make sure all those solutions agreed upon in phase one architectural tech landscape are actually done correctly, following the technical plans. It's quality control, protecting the client from dodgy installation work.
Right. And then the final step, phase three, final certification. What does that certificate actually give the client?
This is really important for long-term value and peace of mind. They issue a formal certificate documenting the level of security that's been achieved. This can be vital for things like insurance discounts or even adding value if you sell the property later. But just as importantly, they hand over all the system plans, the original manuals, the references for every single device used. That transparency is key. It means you, the client, own all the knowledge about your system. You're not locked into one specific company for future maintenance or upgrades. You have control.
Okay, so we definitely need to address the cost question. This sounds thorough, professional, premium probably. How does the cost compare to just buying a standard security package?
It's a fair question. And they tackle it by framing it as an investment, not just an expense. You're paying a fee for professional consulting expertise, for the design work. It's not a prepackaged deal or a quote from a catalog. The real value isn't just the upfront cost versus another quote. It's about understanding how much money you save in the long run. Saving by fixing design flaws early, avoiding the cost of ripping things out later, avoiding unnecessary sensors, avoiding the constant headaches and costs of unstable systems.
So the investment is really in preventing much bigger future costs, both in fixing things and potentially the cost of an actual intrusion. The big takeaway seems to be figure out what actually needs protecting and what the real risks are first before you even start talking about brands or specific devices. That way, you end up depending less on quick fixes and spending less overall. It's a good reminder, isn't it, that proper security starts with smart design, asking the right questions up front, not just reacting with the quickest, easiest fix. This kind of integrated architectural approach means your security works with your home and your life rather than being a constant source of friction.
Absolutely. And maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Take a look around your own home right now. Think about those blind spots. Not just where your sensors are, but maybe where that aesthetically pleasing feature, that lovely hedge, that cool minimalist window, might actually be creating an unintended opportunity for crime. What's that beautiful design element really saying about your home's calculated resistance time? It's something to mull over.
Definitely food for thought.
Yeah.
So if this design-first approach sounds like what you need, maybe you're building, planning a renovation, or just want to seriously upgrade your home security foundation, the team we've been discussing is available for consultations. They can prepare an evaluation proposal specific to your property. You can find all the information and contact details over at angeloleros.com. That's A-N-G-E-L-O-L-L-E-R-O-S.com.